Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We'll get back to this. Here's Andy at the podium.
Dorian, Daniel isn't ready yet with a hamstring. Sammy has a hamstring, he won't practice. And then Wiley with an ankle sprain won't practice. Everybody else will go. The part of the challenge of playing the Texans, they're a good football team there. We've had a few games against them here over the years, and they're well coached, and they've got good players. So again, we look forward to that. That challenge will start all our work for them today, go through the process of getting ourselves ready. So with that, time's yours.
How much, you saw Deshaun Watson a couple of years ago. How much has he kind of progressed over these last couple of years?
Yeah, he's a heck of a player. We had him in here before the draft and sure thought the world of him. He was a heck of a player in college, and he's carried that over, and he's playing real good football. Yeah.
Making better decisions as it kind of goes along with getting older?
Yeah, he's just playing good football. I mean, that's all the way around. I don't know exactly what they're asking him and not asking him to do, but whatever they're asking him to do, he's doing well right now. So.
Kind of a what-if scenario, and somebody had jumped in front of you guys to grab Patrick. Was Deshaun a guy that you would have been happy with,
and
led the coach?
I thought he was a heck of a player. Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't even know if we talk about those things, but I would tell you he's a heck of a player.
A situation with Patrick, he's seemingly a little gimpy with the ankle. He takes that shot the other day. Do you, in any way, weigh the long-term benefit versus just the immediate in terms of could you sit him even if he could go?
Yeah, we're not going to put him in harm's way there. I mean, that's not how we roll here. So, you know, I don't do it. I mean, I let the docs and our trainer take care of it. And if we thought it was going to hurt him down the road, he wouldn't be in there. So.
And everybody's kind of hurt this time of year. That's sort of part of what goes on here. I mean,
yeah, the main thing was he got stepped on. That's what happened in the game. You know, that's and then it kind of settled down after that. But that happens. That happens. That log out. You get that part.
Do you see the new offensive lineman with Newski's a guy who could potentially slide right in before you guys left turn?
Well, he's capable of doing that, yeah. I mean, it's a matter of just getting in and learning right now. But he's played a long time in the league. Been a starter guard, been a starter center.
I guess he's supposed to be ready after 3 days.
Yeah, no, he could be, you know, he could be ready if needed, yeah. Yeah. But I think we just give him a chance to learn right now.
Does playing for Doug help him in that transition at all? Yeah, if you know what Doug does.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, some of it carries over, and he's a real smart guy. I mean, he was that coming out, and he's had that reputation since he's been in the league. And whatever is new, he'll learn it, and he's good with all that.
What about your new defensive tackle? Is it easier for him?
He's been around again for a while, and I think he'll pick it up fast. He's a sharp kid. And he's seen a lot of things, so but I think both those guys are guys that, you know, can help you.
I know that you can't get into certain specifics now, Deshaun, but tracing back to the draft, what was it you liked? What stood out to you? Because I know you guys had him in here, right?
We did, yeah. Yeah. Well, he was a good player. I mean, great player. And it looks like I said, it looks like he's carried that over what he's doing now. Different offense, but he builds a heck of an offensive mind, so he's in good hands and doing good things there.
What's the next hurdle that Tyreek needs to clear in the shoulder?
Yeah, I think this is just a time thing. We'll see. He's going to work this week, and we'll see how he feels. You know, we just it's one of those things. So.
Coach, with Sammy, he ended up being active and then not able to really go. What was that, a close call and you just kind of leaned for it?
Maybe? Well, he felt good, yeah. You know, he felt good going into the game, and then when he planted, it grabbed on him. But he went through all the warm-ups. He did everything and felt really good, and felt good on Saturday, and one of those things. So, sometimes that happens.
Coach,
As far as a quarterback, you know, there's a lot of conversation about how much a quarterback can, you know, help out as far as, you know, avoiding sacks. That's not just the line. You know, the quarterback's, you know, got to play his role as well. How much of it is you guys were, I know, you had a little rougher this past week, but before that you'd only been sacked three times. How much of it is the quarterback? How much of it's the five guys in front? How much of it's you?
Yeah, absolutely. We all take responsibility for it. Yeah. Team, offensive team deal. So we've got to do better. I got to put the guys in better position. And then if you're put in that position, then we got to execute. And so it doesn't matter what position it is. It could be a receiver running a route, not getting his work done fast enough. It could be the quarterback. It could be the O-line. It could be the play call. So we've all got a responsibility there. Got to go back and make sure we correct it.
You anticipate Tyreek being a full participant today?
Yeah, I mean, he's been doing that the last, I don't know if there's a term full, but he's, well, maybe that's how they turn out. I don't know what, I didn't know there was, he's out there working, you know, whether it's scout team or the guys. He kind of did a little bit of everything last week, so I presume this is pure how he feels, and this isn't a real common injury in the NFL, right. So we're just trying to make sure it's right, and our medical people are.
But if you leave it up to him, he'll tell you, I'm ready to play on Sunday.
Yeah, but they do all the, you know, the MRIs and all that stuff, so I mean, they're looking at that. I'm not, and thank goodness, right?
The contact will be the big key of that, right? To see how he can, there's not a lot of real contact during practice. Will there be a little bit of apprehension whenever he's active just to see how he responds to that?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you're not going to put him in that situation if he's apprehensive.
We know he won't have apprehension. I'm talking about apprehension on your guys.
On my part? No. I mean, that's not, you make sure it's good and then he can go do, if you're, you can't play this game like that. So you can't coach it that way. I mean, if the guy's ready, then he goes and does his thing and plays.
I think you guys have been high on Byron Pringle since last year. Just what is his advanced route running that he showed in a game maybe mean for his role, even when he had a full slate of healthy guys?
Yeah, well, he's big and strong. Has a good feel inside where he's playing there. And has made some plays outside, you know, but big, fast, and strong. So the quarterback has trust in him, which is important. So that means he's running the right routes and getting to the right spots. And so that's great for his career going forward for us as a team. That's great offense.
Big penalty areas that everyone needs to focus on because of the consistency is roughing the passer. Do you have a real feel for what is roughing the passer these days and the consistency of the calls?
Well, I think, listen, I think there's a human element that comes to officiating. So they try to make it as consistent as they can, but everybody, on time, on game time, is going to probably see it a little bit different depending on when they want to throw it, not throw it. But it's subjective on their part. The officials, I'm saying. So, but I mean, I have a pretty good idea what it is. Yeah. So, by rule, but it's, you know, it depends on how they see it. But that's a human element. I mean, that's all part of the game.
The Colts stretch you guys a lot of man coverage on Sunday. And then after the game, Patrick talked about the Lions having four, and then New England did it in the NFC Championship game. So, what does that change for you guys? Like, what, especially when you're running without Tyreek, without Sammy, what do you guys need to be doing against man coverages?
Yeah. So we have the guys that can. They can do it. I've got to make sure I get them in the right position, call wise, and then you got to defeat it. So it's truly man on man, and you're not working in space. You're trying to defeat the guy over you, and there are certain ways you do that. And so collectively, we've all got to get better at that.
Nate, Andy, how much of the equation within that, to kind of back up on Josh's question, is the physical nature of the opponent, particularly in that sort of 5-yard area, and how much of that is a concern that you're trying to tell the officials during the game where it feels like, you know, both the Lions, based on watching film, both the Lions and the Colts are trying to hold on the guys as maybe even longer than they're necessarily allowed in the round?
Yeah, well, it doesn't really matter. You're not going to change that. Early in the season, they were calling it real close, and then there were too many, so they've kind of let the guys get in and play and work. So you've got to go in, and from an offensive standpoint, you got to be physical and challenge, and then it's important that there's a balance there. Like Kelsey's last week, he, you know, they were getting in it, and he got called for a I put, well, that's a subjective decision. It might be different than the way I see it as the way they see it. So, you know, but they'll get a balance on that. And, you know, you got to get both sides. If one side's going to grab, the other side's got to be able to kind of play physical too. So,
great. Thank you.
All right, that's head coach Andy Reid, Pat Mahomes coming up. And we've gotten word from Pete Sweeney, who was out there for us, that Travis Kelce may go to the podium. With everything that happened, I refuse to go to a break. If Travis Kelce is going to speak, I want to hear from him. All right, and so let's do that. Kelce will be coming up next, and we're going to go right to Travis Kelce as soon as he gets to the podium. Patrick Mahomes, a little news right now. Eric Fisher, Chris Jones, Dorian O'Daniel, Sammy Watkins, and Andrew Wiley will not practice today. Tyreek is practicing just like he did last week. And he said that with Tyreek, it's more of a time thing. We don't put people in harm's way. We don't roll like that, is what Andy said. Here comes Travis Kelce to the podium.
Yeah, I mean, it got captured on cameras. About that, take us through it and where you guys are.
I mean, we're good. We've moved on as a team from last game. And you guys got to understand, me and Coach Bieniemy have a very close relationship. I love him. He's helped me out tremendously as a person, as a professional, and I'm sure he'll keep doing that throughout the rest of my career. And just what happened on the sideline. I mean, sometimes football, you get a little heated with your brothers or your coaches, and, you know, sometimes you just got to rally the family together and let everybody know we're in this together to, you know, win a game. And sure enough, we were able to bring it together there. And I mean, you guys saw me hug him afterwards. I mean, I love that guy. And that'll never change. And I appreciate him always being on my tail to get me going.
Travis, what are the things that you can see from your teammates as you've been around long enough to know that they've put the loss behind them when you're getting ready for the next game, that there's no sort of hangover? What are the small things that you can see as far as how the guys are practicing and going to meetings?
I mean, just focus. I mean, you could feel the building was kind of drained yesterday. That means everybody cares, and that's all it is. We just got to light a torch, get a little angry, and attack the next game with more aggression and more purpose than we did the last one.
With Sammy and Tyreek out, how much extra attention do you feel like the other team's fans get?
The last game, none really. I mean, they just played us in pure man coverage and. Said beat us, and then we didn't. And that goes on myself, goes on all the other route runners, and it goes on the front five to be able to stop whatever they're doing up front so that we got enough time to open that up. So, I mean, it was just overall, we just couldn't click last week. Shout out to their defense for being ready for that. I mean, it was a heck of a team win for Indiana, or Indianapolis. And, you know, this week we're attacking it with a whole different mentality.
How much of the one-on-one man-to-man coverage comes down to just physicality in some ways, where they obviously want to get you off a time or a spot, and how have you tried to adjust to that when it seems like the officials can kind of make one side appear to be more physical than the other?
I think coaches hit it. Everybody views, you know, holding and man-to-man coverage a little bit different in terms of refs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you got to just feel that out throughout a game. Because you want to be physical at the point of attack, but you don't want to get to the point where you're, I don't know, getting a flag thrown on you like I did in that game. So it's just trying to find that happy medium and still being aggressive and still running your route to win.
Sure, you mentioned a new mentality this week. Just what goes into, what were you guys thinking? What's a little bit different maybe than last week in preparation?
Just the aggression. I mean, we know what we're going to get. They slowed us down last week with man-to-man coverage, so we know we're going to get quite a bit of man this week, at least we would assume. So we just got to be ready for it.
Trent Wisniewski, the new offer. Have you spent any time around him with your brother? Just do you have any kind of relationship?
Heard a few good stories on him. But then again, my brother has a good story on just about anybody. It's good to see someone who comes in who already has a pretty good idea of what this offense is about and where we're trying to go with it.
Travis, it's the first time in a couple of years you guys have lost the game where the offense didn't score a bunch. You had a couple of shootouts last year. Does that feel different for you guys as an offensive group that you feel like you didn't score 30 points?
Yeah, it's disappointing for sure. I mean, we know what this offense is capable of. And I think it's a lot of it is on us. I mean, the penalties, you can't go forward when you're kicking yourself going backwards, man. It's and those are tough things to overcome. So I mean, the penalty cleanup clean up the penalties, and from there, make plays when the ball's in the air, no matter what the coverage is.
Travis, you said you expect man this upcoming week, but last week, I mean, the Colts play a lot of zone. Were you expecting them to play as much man?
No, but about after the first quarter, we knew what we had in front of us, and we just got to attack. Got to be ready for it.
How does that change the strategy? You see, oh, they're playing more man than we expected to be, kind of playing all the zone. What changes for you guys in that moment?
I feel like the mentality has to change, and that might not have been what happened out on the field. Just the mentality of coming off the ball and attacking, putting them in a reactionary position, being the defense, instead of kind of letting them dictate what we're doing.
You seem even nonverbal, not even to do with the BME moment, but you just seem a little bit especially frustrated this past game. Where was that as far as frustrating games maybe in like the course of your long career?
I haven't felt like that in a while, and that's definitely something that I've been thinking about a lot, just how to handle a lot of those situations. Looking back, seeing how I connected the dots after maybe a frustrating play, and how to kind of hone that in and be able to attack on the next play with a clear mind. You know, it's football. It's not always going to go your way. So I just got to maintain the level of focus and the level of excitement that I have for the game.
When you guys play Detroit, I know guys always try to shoot the ball. I mean, that's just football. But you noticed a more aggressive punching from Detroit. And it seems that defenders now are really going all out more than. Have you guys noticed that? Are you doing anything more in practice to prepare for that kind of strategy?
I think our defense does an unbelievable job at punch tackling. It is definitely something that you can tell is taught in a lot of locker rooms or in a lot of defensive locker rooms. And it's just it's non-conscious effort to hold on to that ball. You know, that's the prize. So you got to hold on to that thing for your brothers. And sure enough, it starts with practice.
A couple more, guys.
With the emotion that you kind of spill out and put on camera, obviously that's what fans see on Sundays. But on a week-to-week basis, what about sort of that connection with Evie allows you to go back to him so quickly after the game?
I think it's just built over the years of how much we've come together as almost brothers or a family. I mean, he's like a father figure in terms of being there for me on the field. And like I said, we're wired a little bit the same when it comes to our competitive edge. And with that being said, I've learned a lot from him and how he handles a lot of that stuff. So it's just, I'll just leave it at that. It's something that immediately I regretted, and I just wanted to make it good and let him know that, you know what, I'm ready to rock and roll for you.
What did he say, Travis, that kind of got you?
I'm not going to get into all that. I'm sorry.
Can I ask you? Tyreek has been working a little bit at work again today. How much he's anxious? He wants to get out there. I mean, what's he been like around the locker room about wanting to get back out there?
Full of energy, man. The guy's full of energy. During the game, he's hyping everybody up, trying to keep everybody focused and moving forward and positive thoughts. And you know, we love him for it. I mean, even when he's not in the game, he's still making an impact as a leader on the sideline, and that's what you love about him.
That's one, Karen.
This is just totally weird. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Are you superstitious about the colored gloves you wear? I mean, you start sometimes with white, then you go to yellow, then you go to red, and sometimes you catch.
Come on, Karen.
Yellow, and I just thought, maybe you're really superstitious.
I have nothing going for the color of gloves I wear. It's just sometimes my gloves get a little sweaty, kind of gets like a little sponge out there, and I just got to change them.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks.
Your yellow is the most successful.
Thanks for that, Jim, Karen. Aunt Karen, to finish off this, that was Travis Kelce. This is 610 Sports Radio, KCSP, Kansas City, WDAFHD, to Kansas City, a radio.com. station. We'll be awaiting Patrick Mahomes. We're not going anywhere. We'll carry them all. The first thing, and the reason why I really wanted to take Travis Kelce, we generally just take Andy and Pat, was obviously he had himself an evening and the Eric Bieniemy situation, and his response, if you missed it, was simply, hey, sometimes that happens. Brothers go at it each other. He's helped his career a lot, and it was just the emotion. A lot of the things that we said. I have a take on his comments, but I don't want to jump the gun, Serta. I want to give myself some time to really think this through, to see if that's really the way that I feel. And I at some point I bring that up, my take on Travis Kelce. I just want to let this marinate just a little bit on that. But Patrick Mahomes coming to the podium very soon, and we'll go right out there to hear your quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. If you did miss it, a little news from Andy Reid earlier. People who are out today, Eric Fisher, obviously, Chris Jones, Dorian O'Daniel is still injured with the ankle, Sammy Watkins, Andrew Riley will not practice, but Tyreek Hill will practice. No timetable still. They say we'll really look at it. It's a time thing with his injury, and they're going to continue to wait on that before saying they want to put him out there, because, as Andy said, we don't put people in harm's way. That's just how we roll. We leave it up to the doctors and trainer, is what Andy said about the Tyreek Hill injury. I'm really interested to seeing how Pat approaches this press conference today. He generally doesn't give us much of anything, but if you listen to us earlier in the segment, like he did, I believe, calculate comments to try to motivate his team, and I think in a very savvy way, which I've seen a lot of great players do, call out his teammates. I'm wondering where he is today. I would imagine that Pat felt like he did enough on Sunday after the game with saying, at some point, we just got to break up man-to-man coverage, and we need to beat man-to-man coverage. So that's probably where it'll stand. It'll probably be a normal Patrick Mahomes press conference. So we are awaiting the quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. He should be coming up anytime. Were you cool with what Travis said? You cool with what Travis said? Yeah, I mean, he was not surprising. I think maybe not if you're cool with Travis said. Do you think it squashes after this? I think it squashes after this. All right, Pat's at the podium. Let's go live.
I actually feel pretty good today. I feel like after the game, I mean, it was sore after the game, but it's feeling pretty good today. So I'm glad to be able to go out there and practice on it and get it moving around and stuff like that. But it's definitely, I feel like I'll be fine playing and moving around and still doing what I need to do to win.
When you say pretty good, I mean, is it as good as it's been maybe since before the original injury, or?
I mean, it's not perfect, I guess you say that, but it's good enough that I feel like I can still run, cut off of it and do all that type of stuff.
You've had games where teams have slowed this offense down for maybe a half or so. Do you feel like this game, though, was the longest the team was able to get to you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we only put up 13 points. That's not a good enough effort to win in this league. So for us, they had a good game plan. They got stops when they needed to get stops. I feel like we moved the ball a little bit, but we couldn't get it into the red zone and get those scores. They played good as a defense, and we got to be better, and we can't have penalties, and we can't turn the ball over whenever we get our chances.
I know you're worried about your offense, obviously, but what can Carlos Hyde do, you know, based on what you've seen in training camp to imposing defense?
Yeah, I mean, he's a great running back. He's a great player, and he's had a great start to the season there in Houston. And so for us, we're going to have to make sure that we find a way to hopefully neutralize him a little bit and find a way to get the stops when we need to. Yeah, I actually got to meet him in college. I think we're both going into our junior year. We went to a little QB camp out in California, and I got to meet him and talk to him, and we did back and forth about how that he did his stuff in Clemson and how I did myself at Texas Tech, and kind of been able to stay in touch a little bit. I mean, he's a great player. He's been a great player for a long time, had success at every level he's played at, and it'll be a great challenge for us as a team to get to go up against a team of that caliber.
Were you at all sort of interacting with him beforehand, like,
Not necessarily that. I mean, we took a lot of the visits. We all went to a lot of the same places with the teams that were looking at quarterbacks then. So whenever we kind of got on those same visits, or we got to see each other at different places, we would talk about what we went through as far as the different visits and stuff like that. But not necessarily picking about where we were going to go, because you never know when you're in that process.
Travis was just in here talking about having a whole different mentality this week. and he was talking about being more aggressive. Can you kind of elaborate on that? He was just talking about you guys may see more man-to-man and just the attitude and mentality of facing that.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have to be prepared. You're going to have to be prepared as a team about teams coming up playing man and pressing it up and trying to be physical with you. So you got to have a counter to that. And, I mean, obviously, we're gonna prepare for that because of the last two teams that we've played. But we also have to prepare for the zone coverages and stuff like that. And so I think just having that mentality of knowing that you could get that physical type game and you have to find a way to get yourself open and be on time with the football is stuff that we're going to work on all week.
Travis said that you guys weren't maybe anticipating as much man as you got last week and that the adjustment kind of had to happen in-game. Does that happen more often now than maybe it did before? People are trying different things that maybe you didn't expect?
Yeah, I mean, definitely people are trying different stuff than they have been all season long as far as different zone coverages, different ways to play different coverages and stuff like that and different disguises. But I think last game, I mean, with them playing as much man as they did, and then they hadn't really shown that. I mean, definitely was different, but you always have to be prepared for that. And so we'll be prepared for everything that we can get, hopefully, this week.
When adjustments like that happen, does it happen between drives? I mean, is that kind of like what you're talking about on the sidelines? It's kind of hard to do it during the course of the game, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it happens on the sideline. I feel like you can make adjustments on the sideline. I mean, when you go to the sideline, you get to look on those tablets and see what they're doing. You can kind of explain to guys what you want, and you just have to find ways to make those adjustments, run the plays that you have, and have success with them.
Kelsey looked like he was a little frustrated at times the other night. He had the thing with the enemy on the sideline. He was yelling at the referees a couple times. Did you feel a need to maybe redirect him a little bit at all Sunday night during the game?
No, not necessarily. I mean, he's a guy that he's played this game for a long time. He understands how to have success. He's had success for a very long time. I mean, obviously, I'm going to try to pump him up and have him ready to go on every single play because he can get open on every single play. And so, I mean, he knows how to handle this game. He knows how to have success. So I'm going to let him go through what he goes through in order to do that.
How critical is it that to be aware of just where J.J. Watt is? I mean, I know Merciless is another force, but Watt in general, 13 quarterback hits in the season, just being aware of where he's at.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely have to. I mean, he's a guy who's had success in this league for a long time, and he knows how to get to the quarterback, or if as far as power, speed, or whatever it is, he can really do it all, and he's a very intelligent player as well. And they have a couple guys on that D-line like that, and so we have to make sure that we have a good game plan going in and knowing I need to be on top of my throws and take what's there and not necessarily hold on to the ball extra long and put my – our team in a bad position.
Seemed like you were holding on a little bit longer last game. Has that been a point of direction for you this week as you prepare for the Texans?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Whenever you play a defensive line of this caliber with the Texans, you have to make sure you get the ball out of your hands, get it into your playmakers' hands, and that's stuff that I've tried to work on all season. Didn't do as good a job with that this last week, and so I'm going to try to make sure I keep getting better at that as the season goes.
What do you like about the in-game adjustment part when you see something early in the game that is maybe new as far as coverage?
Yeah, I mean, it's a challenge. I mean, you always love the challenge of getting to play in this league every single week. And so when you get a different coverage, a different look, you get to go to your teammates, figure out the best way to beat it, and then try to have success doing that. And I feel like we've done a good job of that for the whole time I've been playing, and we didn't do a good enough job this last week. So we're going to try to get back on track with that.
It seems like every week we see clips of calls that people are amazed that get called for roughing the passer. And I know you've been on both ends of it. Some, you know, there's calls that you wanted a couple of calls and didn't get the flag, and maybe other times you did. Do you have a real firm grasp about what is roughing the passer today and a feel for when there's going to be a flag and not?
Yeah, I mean, in a sense, I feel like I do. I mean, they come and talk to us, the NFL referees do, and they explain to us what is and what isn't. And, I mean, obviously, it's their judgment on what the hit is like, and you go with that. I mean, it's not necessarily, to me, worried about the flag. I'm just going to try to worry about having success in the play, and if the flag comes out, it comes out, and if it doesn't, it doesn't.
Pretty good look to have an advanced route tree in this last game. Where's your trust level at with Byron?
Yeah, I mean, you saw it. I mean, he's a guy who can make plays when his name's called. And so for us, him just being able to go out there and keep learning this offense each and every week and keep getting more success on the field, you start building that confidence. And so I know he's playing with a lot of confidence right now, and I'm excited to keep him moving forward.
How much have you been able to throw to him before the game the other day? I mean, I know he's played some, like in Detroit, he got some time, particularly toward the end. But how much have you been able to throw to him?
Yeah, I've been able to throw to him a lot. I mean, since I mean, he was here his rookie season in the preseason before he got hurt, and so I was able to get reps with him then. And then he came in and was here all during OTAs and all during training camp and all those different stuff, and he was getting reps then. He was mixing in with the ones and doing all that type of different stuff. And I think that's the luxury of having that receiver room, is that guys can kind of step in and still play and have success on the field.
This is the first time you guys have really been held down offensively. What's the confidence level that you guys have right now that you can just shake that one off and jump forward and get right back on where it was? At least 25 points every game, all that.
I think you have to have that confidence in this league. I mean, you have to have the confidence you're going to go out there and have success every single week. We know that we're playing a very good defense and with a very good defensive line and a very good team in general with a good game plan. And so for us, we're just going to have that confidence that we're going to go in and do what we do, find a way, and just in the end find a way to win the football game.
In the handful of losses that you've had, you've scored a lot of points, and this time you didn't. How does this game rank as far as maybe the frustrations that you've had in your career so far?
Yeah, I mean, every loss doesn't feel good. I mean, regardless if we score a lot or if we don't, it all feels bad, and it kind of motivates you the next week to just try to do whatever you can to get better in order to try not to lose again.
All right, that's Lord have mercy. All right, that is Patrick Mahomes. Coming back here, if you missed it, Andy, Travis Kelce spoke. Coming up, I think Pete is ridiculous and was ridiculous yesterday, but he did say something. Listening to Pat, listening to Andy, I think there is potential adjustments this offense needs to make, and I don't believe it still is to run the football more. That's next.
Show and Burn, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at kclend.com.
All right, welcome back in. Coming up here in about 3 minutes, your chance, your next opportunity to win $1,000. If you missed it, we had Andy Reid, Travis Kelce spoke, also Patrick Mahomes, the news of the day for the team. Guys who aren't practicing, Eric Fisher, Chris Jones, Dorian O'Daniel, Sammy Watkins, and Andrew Wiley will not be practicing. Tyreek Hill did practice today, but there was no a timetable on when he could return. They are waiting on the rest of the week to see if he will be back. I said this before we went to break, Serta. Like, Pete was with us yesterday, and Pete was out there. Many thanks to Pete for getting this audio brought here for us here. But Pete was on with us yesterday, the final 2 hours. Most of it was rough. But he did make this point of when we were talking about adjustments. He said adjustments need to be made with this offense, and primarily due to what he felt is the injury to Patrick Mahomes. Now, we whittled on a few things. I think he believes Patrick is a little bit more injured than I look off and believe. I think, yeah, when he got stepped on the ankle, it did change his mobility in the game Sunday. But I don't think he's not 100%, but I think he is still fully capable to be the focal point of this offense. But he did say, he said, I think that's the reason why I believe the Chiefs need to run the football more than they normally do. And I think when he explained it, that makes sense. A lot of people were on board with his thought of running the football more and to help with the injury. I think adjustments need to be made. But I think you also got to know what you got here. And you've got the best play designer, I believe, this side of Bill Walsh. And you've got the talent of Patrick Mahomes, who I don't believe he is barely mobile. He's not 100%, but I think he is still good enough to do almost all of the things he normally does. I still don't believe your best opportunity to win is by handing the ball off and running behind that offensive line. I think adjustments need to be made within the passing game. I think you need to do things within the passing game and design plays and call plays that help Pat out with his injury, that make sure he's not as mobile. I still think it should be 70-30 pass to run because of how your team is built, and it gives you the best opportunity to win is when you are throwing the football. I'd rather have Pat throwing the football at 85% to Kelce and Robinson and if Sammy plays and McCole Hardman, then Damian Williams, McCoy, and Daryl Williams running behind that offensive line. I just think the adjustment needs to be made within how you use the passing game. Real quick, Serta, 1,000 on the 30s, your next opportunity is right now to win $1,000. Text in the word drums to 72881. That's drums, D-R-U-M-S, to 72881, and you could be the next winner of $1,000 International Cash Contest. Remember, 610 Sports Radio is not only the football station, but it is the only sports station in Kansas City giving you a chance to win up to $8,000 each weekday. All you got to do is just listen at the 30s like you are right now from 9 to 5. Remember, your next chance will be the final chance on Show and Vern that you have an opportunity to win $1,000. That's coming up in an hour at 1:30. Complete rules at 610sports.com. Go ahead, Serta.
For the people that are screaming, we have to establish the run because it keeps the defense on their toes and it keeps them back and it keeps them honest. Like, you don't really understand the basis of NFL analytics then if you think that that's...
Well, they may not.
Well, I mean, but like, the Eagles literally won a Super Bowl by using RPOs and using play fakes and stuff like that. It's not that you have to run the football. Like, the Eagles won a Super Bowl successfully with the backup quarterback just based on the idea that you can get the same effect by throwing it a majority of the time, but using still having a run-pass option and not actually running the football. Just using it as an idea to keep the defense in the same position to where they don't know if you're going to give it up or if you're going to throw the football. Like, you, there's ways to utilize that without having to run the ball because... Yeah, you can make that argument about the defense, but it doesn't actually make a difference if your running game is terrible.
Yeah,
like, it's not actually doing anything if your running game does nothing, and their running game has been bad.
I think the answer lies with what this team is, and I think we're saying the same thing. And the way it's built is you're not built to be the most – like he said yesterday, when Pete said yesterday the best opportunity potentially Sunday for the Chiefs to win is them maybe handing the ball off to Damian Williams and letting the run game. And I said, well, hell, if that's the best chance, then just sit Pat down and get him healthy. If that's the best chance, I don't agree. I think the best chance is you got to put the ball in his hand. I just think you understand you're creative as hell like Andy Reid. You've just got to find ways that helps his injury still by throwing the football. I still think every 10 plays for this team, the way it's set up, you should throw it 7 times and run it 3. Now, I'm not one that don't believe you don't have to run the football. I think the Dallas Cowboys are a Super Bowl contender. I think they got to run the football. I think they should be running the football more because of the way their team is set up. Last year, Serta, I don't think the New England Patriots get to a Super Bowl and win it if they didn't start to run the football the way they did because of the way their team was set up. I'm just saying the way the Chiefs are set up is putting a ball in 1-5's hands. That's what it's about. And I just think Andy needs to be creative and adjust, not by handing the ball off more, but adjust in the way that he calls passing plays and what passing plays he calls. All right, coming up, Serta has himself a claim, folks. He's about to get red hot. Serta has himself a claim about this defense that I personally believe it's coming more out of hate than his true belief. We'll get into that next.
Show and Burn, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at kclend.com.
All right, let's jump into it. Steve Serta is chomping at the bit. Ladies and gentlemen, Steve Serta says, I've had it. This is where I draw the line in the sand. This is where it goes down. This is it. By the way, This Is Us was fantastic last night. If you missed it, I won't give it away. Spoiler, it was great. Had me thinking for 30 minutes afterwards. But go ahead, Steve. You're ready to make a claim. Put that hog out there, Stevie. Come on. Come on, buddy. Come on.
And you're just making it weird. Sorry. I don't know if I really feel like getting this takeoff
anymore. Come on. Get it. I feel like Ace Ventura. Good.
Yes, the Chiefs' run defense is one of the worst in the NFL. They are on pace to set some records. They're not quite as bad as a couple other defenses. So they're not the worst, but they're one of the worst. And it is.
Why don't you start with your claim? Start with your claim and then take us on this roller coaster ride.
It is certainly a hindrance upon the rest of the team. that their run defense is so atrocious. Carlos Hyde was cut from this team in the preseason because he is not very good at football. He got picked up by he got traded to the Houston Texans. That's right. They traded him for like a fifth or sixth round pick or something. And he is basically their starting running back now. He's splitting time with Duke Johnson.
Top 15 in yards, 4.2 yards a carry, and two touchdowns.
He averaged 2.9 yards per carry last week. 2 weeks ago, he averaged 1.9 yards per carry. It's just a product of volume is why he is top 15 right now.
That's it.
It's Duke Johnson has been the much more serviceable running back, much more productive running back. He's just not getting near the volume that Carlos Hyde is. I don't know what that is with Duke Johnson. I don't know if he's struggling to pick up the playbook. I don't know if he's terrible at blocking. I haven't watched enough Duke Johnson tape to give you a definitive answer on that. If the Chiefs' run defense gets run over by Carlos Hyde and Carlos Hyde comes out here and drops 130 yards on Sunday, there's no fixing it. Carlos Hyde is not a highly productive running back. He is not a guy that you should come into the game fearing. And it feels like the Chiefs are fearing running backs in general. It doesn't matter who the running back is. If you give up a bunch of yards to Carlos Hyde on Sunday, there's no fixing it. You might as well just try to figure something else out and just assume that you're going to give up 150 rushing yards a game for the rest of the season.
So, Sirtis, this is it for him. And I wonder how many people are out here with the "this is it." Because I honestly believe, Serta, this is more of his hate towards Carlos Hyde. His football hate of Carlos Hyde. And I don't think, and Carlos, if you're listening, and I know you're not, but if you're listening, Carlos, it's not personal. Steve's just not going to come off of the, "I think Carlos Hyde's not a professional football player and he sucks." Even though you are a top 15 runner in yards.
This is last chance.
4.26.
He gets cut from this team. He is not going to find his way on an NFL roster.
And Serta is putting Carlos Hyde in last chance you in the National Football League, which I don't know why. But I want to know how many people are out there with this nut. Like right now, I'm telling you, if they give it up to Los Hyde and Duke Johnson, it's it. It's no fixing. I'm trying to figure out why now this is the line. I was there against Detroit. I came out, someone here from the listener 420 said, "I feel the same way, Steve." Detroit, you didn't get there? Detroit's running game was rough. And I understand that I think Kerryon Johnson is more talented than him, but they are not a good running. They were not a good running team. Not at all. They had not even approached 100 yards in four quarters of the game all season long. And at that point, I told you, I said, "Man, if you give up the running, if you let them run over you against Detroit," and that's with Chris Jones going crazy.
Detroit's got a reasonably talented offensive line, though. Houston does not.
Get out of here. If you let Detroit run it over you, and that's with Chris Jones going nuts, if you let Detroit go off on you, then I feel like this is going to be an uphill battle all year. And I was there against Detroit. Now you're going to tell me Chris Jones, your best defensive player by a mile, is out of the game. You're going to tell me now if Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson and the Texans rush for 150 yards, this is the one that shakes your thoughts about the run defense ever being good again. That's where you got here now?
Yes.
Come on, man.
Yes.
Hey, no Xavier Williams, no Chris Jones. Now you're in it. Now this is what's in.
Yes.
Good hell, man.
Yes, absolutely. Because you know Bill O'Brien's out here like, "Oh, I'm not even going to have to throw with Deshaun Watson on Sunday because I'm a terrible coach and I'm just going to run the football down their throats." 30 carries for Carlos Hyde on tap.
God, what is that? Why is that just, God, he really sticks it. It's only because you know you were wrong.
Someone on Twitter asked me if they should start Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson in their fantasy lineup. I told them no. I take it back. You know what? Go ahead and start both of them.
So now you're giving bad advice?
That's how little faith I have in the Chiefs' defense. It's stopping the run.
Like you
go ahead and start both of them.
And the thing is, you have places where you can really boast. You can really boast about Damian Williams. Just take the L on this one, Doug. You're just the Carlos Hyde, man.
I'm not wrong.
You said he's not a professional football player.
I said He's fighting for his professional life.
No,
does not work out for him here in Houston, he will not land on another NFL roster.
God, ladies and gentlemen, good hell, man. It just, all right. And many people are there with you. Somehow now this game, with your best defensive player and maybe arguably Xavier Williams coming into the season, your best run stopper, not in the game, this is the one that takes you over the top. I'm done. It can't be fixed. It got you here. Here, it can't be fixed. Last week, they went against a quarterback who was afraid to throw the ball down the field. And they
Frank Reich wasn't afraid to run.
I'm just saying, you thought, oh, there's coming back from the run defense after last week's performance? Ah, come on, man. I can't believe you're just not there right now. Oh, man. I love you, buddy. But that's something else. All right. Serta is at a place where he's ready to be done. He's ready to be done if Carlos Hyde was running. Because you wouldn't be this way about Lamar. You wouldn't be this way if Lamar Thomas didn't get hurt and he was the back. You wouldn't give it up then. It's just personal, and you know it. But I want somebody as passionate as you are right now. I want to transition to this, and this is such a great transition. I'm just really good about the technical stuff here. But if as fired up it is that you are about this run defense, as much as you are drawing the line in the sand saying, this is it. It is time for Andy Reid to draw the line in the sand. Oh, it's time, Bubba. It's time for you to show why you are an MVP or you are a Hall of Fame coach. It is time for you to show why you are a great leader. It is time for you to put on your head coach hat and have a come to Jesus meeting with Frank Clark. It's that time, man. We've gotten enough sample size here. 5 games where he just looks like the same person. All right? You spent the money and made the call. That wasn't Brett. The highest paid player in franchise history, that lands in Andy's lap. He's not letting Brett make that decision. You brought him in. And you, to me, in my opinion, has been a crutch to Frank. First of all, you let a guy who has never ever been a leader. Shout out to you, Chris Jericho. Never been a leader. A primary leader on the football team. Not even, you can't even go to college. He sure as hell wasn't a leader at Michigan. He was off the damn team. He wasn't in Seattle. He had too many guys around him, surrounding him as leaders. Now, the thought was, hey, maybe he brings that culture over. All right, but you let him come over to a team and just off tops without doing anything for you or that team, allowed him to be a leader. It's different from when Reggie White comes from Philadelphia and goes to Green Bay because he's been a leader his whole life. Frank's 25. He don't get that. But you allowed him to come over and be a leader and be one of the unquestioned leaders on the defense and on the team. And now you put a scenario to where he's playing the way he is and it can't nobody come and check him. Maybe Tyrann Mathieu, but I don't even know if that's it. Nobody can come check him. So now that you have done this, and now that you have, I believe, created a crutch, and you've created excuses for Frank coming out to the media talking about, well, he's being double-teamed all the time. You need to sit down. I don't think you need to yell at him, but you need to do what parents do sometimes with kids, what teachers sometimes do with students, what bosses sometimes do with their employees, where you got to have a come-to-Jesus meeting and say, hey, look, I want to check in with you, dog. Because this ain't, I know that's how Andy would say it. I want to check in with you, Doug. This ain't it, boss. Like, something's got to change. And then you present it in a way, hey, is there something that we need to do for you, Frank? Is there something that we, as a team, as an organization, need to do to help you out? Is there something Spags needs to do in terms of the scheme? Is there something? Because this ain't it. And we got to have a real-ass conversation about your performance. Because Binkley said it yesterday. Chris Jones, this team's best defender, is going down. And you say to yourself, hey, he's got as much pressure on him. You need Frank Clark in a way that you never have. Ain't no time to be on the, hey, man, we'll just use him when we need him. No, he needs to pick it up now. And I believe you are the one. You are the authority on this team. You're the head coach. This don't need to come from Brandon Daly, his position coach. This don't need to come from Spags. This needs to come from the guy who signed off on you coming here and the leader of this team, Andy Reid. It's come to Jesus meeting time. All right, it's five games, boss. I tried the method of we're just going to stand by you. At some point, somebody with the Royals sat down and had a conversation with Alex Gordon. We're going to have to make some changes, boss. I know you love to pull the ball, but we're going to have to do something else. Because this right here, this isn't working. And to me, because you've allowed him and anointed him a leader off top, there's not really many anybody on this team that can check him. And the one person that can is you, Andy, and you got to check him. That time, man. We're about there. I think you did that. I think you got me going there, sir. Good hell. All right. We just talked about Frank, and it's time for him to have a come-to-Jesus meeting. I feel like we need to have a come-to-Jesus meeting with some of these fans off of one loss. I know the Chiefs lost one game on Sunday, and sometimes it gets some fans in a place where they have just absolutely lost their fan mind. But we have to put an end to this lie. There is a narrative and a blatant lie that is being pushed about this football team that has to come to an end. That's next.
Show and Burn, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at kclend.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.